Good morning, Stavanger Church. It is good to see you on this fall day, September 27th, the 17th Sunday after Pentecost. I'd like to begin the service with a few announcements. First, we have a praise report. Mariah, Pastor John's daughter, has made it safely back to South Sudan. She left a note for us, and I'd like to read that for you today. It says, "Dear Stavanger Lutheran Church, thank you for your generous support gift. It is a privilege to worship with you during my intermittent visits to the U.S. It has been an especially memorable summer joining you outside for almost 3 months. Thanks again," signed Mariah Jewell. It was a blessing to have her and help her as leading the praise service from time to time. And some other announcements. Our Shady Oak Bible study is now at a new time, Wednesday nights at 6 p.m. Last Wednesday, we had a really great time at Shady Oak. We went out into the barn. We had a Bible study in the barn and a campfire and s'mores afterwards. Great time. Shady Oak, that's just off of County Highway 1. If you'd like some more information, just contact me. Also, our Tuesday night Bible study. Tuesday night Bible study will resume on October 20th. Tuesday night Bible study, October 20th at 7 p.m. And see Pastor John for more details about that. Other big announcement. Mark your calendar. The Sunday school and confirmation is starting next week, next Sunday, beginning October 4th. October 4th, 9:30 a.m. So you just come an hour earlier, participate in Sunday school and confirmation. Important, confirmation families. If you have not met with Pastor Eric, please do so. He will be available today after the service. You can find him right over by the bell. Meet Pastor Eric after the service to talk about confirmation. Okay, well now, let us hear our call to worship from Psalm 25, verses 4 through 6. Show me your ways, Lord. Teach me your paths. Guide me in your truth and teach me. For you are God, my Savior, and my hope is in you all day long. Remember, Lord, your great mercy and love, for they are from old. We would like to begin our worship service in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Please join us as we begin with the praise song, All Creatures of Our God and King.
Hallelujah, hallelujah. Creator bless and worship Him in humbleness. Son, and praise the Spirit, three in one. Oh, praise Him. Oh, praise Him. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
I'm reading from Psalm 147, verses 1 and verses 3 through 5. Praise the Lord! How good it is to sing praises to our God! How pleasant and fitting to praise Him! He heals the brokenhearted and binds up their wounds. He determines the number of the stars and calls them each by name. Great is our Lord and mighty in power. His understanding has no limit. Please join us as we continue to worship.
Everyone needs compassion, love that's never failing. Let mercy fall on me. Everyone needs forgiveness, kindness of a Savior, the hope of nations. Conquered the grave. Jesus conquered the grave. sanctuary, pure and holy, tried and true, with thanksgiving, I'll be a living sanctuary for you. It is you, save the heart and soul of every man. It is you, Lord, who knows my weakness, who gives me strength with your own hand. Lead me on, Lord, from temptation. Purify me from within. Fill my heart with your Holy Spirit. Take away all my sin. Lord, prepare me to be a sanctuary, pure and holy, tried and true. With thanksgiving, I'll be a living sanctuary.
Congregation, if you would take up your bulletins now. On the back side, you'll see the confession of our sin. Please join me as we confess our sins with the words of Almighty God, our Maker and Redeemer. Almighty God, our Maker and Redeemer, we poor sinners confess to you that we are by nature sinful and unclean, and that we have sinned against you by thought, word, and deed. Therefore, we flee for refuge to your infinite mercy, seeking and imploring your grace for the sake of our Lord Jesus Christ. O most merciful God, who has given your only begotten Son to die for us, have mercy on us, and for his sake grant us forgiveness of all our sins, and by your Holy Spirit increase in us true knowledge of you and of your will, and true obedience to your word, that by your grace we may come to everlasting life. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Almighty God, our Heavenly Father, has had mercy on us, and has given his only Son to die for us, and for his sake forgives us all our sins. To those who believe in his name, he gives power to become the children of God, and bestows on them his Holy Spirit. Whoever believes and is baptized shall be saved. Grant this, O Lord, to us all. Amen. And now, congregation, let us confess our faith with the words of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended to heaven and is seated at the right hand of God the Father Almighty, from whence he shall come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Congregation, let us take this time to pray. I can't see you as you're in your cars, but we could join in one heart, one mind as we pray together. Oh, gracious Heavenly Father, We come to you now, and we rejoice that we're able to gather. We're still able to gather as the seasons change. We gather in a unique way, and we're grateful. Lord, give us wisdom as we move ahead and continue to gather. We pray for the body of Christ, both locally and globally, and the challenges we faced in this year. Lord, we lift up all those who are sick, who are grieving, or who are suffering, and we grieve with them. Take a moment to share the burdens of our brothers and sisters. We ask that you bring healing, that you bring comfort, that you bring restoration, and that your sustaining presence be with us, Lord. Lord, this day, we need to hear from you. Give us ears to hear and minds to understand your word. I pray for the preaching of Pastor John as he proclaims your word. Lord God, we as a congregation would now like to pray to you with the prayer that our Lord Jesus taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive all those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. And at this time, I would like to invite up Pastor John Jewell for the sermon.
Our passage this morning comes from the Gospel according to Matthew chapter 21. It takes place during Holy Week, what we call Holy Week, the days leading up to Jesus' suffering and death and crucifixion in Jerusalem. The week begins with Jesus' triumphal entry into Jerusalem. And the day we know today as Palm Sunday is when Jesus was greeted with palm branches and people shouting, "Hosanna to the Son of David." They were welcoming him as their Messiah, as their deliverer king, as the promised one in the family line of an earlier king, David, who was a great king among the people of Israel. And God promised that there would be one that came from David's line, his descendants. And here comes Jesus. Born in the city of David, born in Bethlehem, David's hometown. And Jesus said when he comes to Jerusalem that week, he did many things, said many things, and the things he did enraged his opponents. He first starts out by cleansing the temple. There's money changers and people selling animals for sacrifices there. They had turned this place of worship into a marketplace, and they're ripping people off left and right. And the religious authorities perhaps had some monetary benefit from the business going on there. Plus, he had challenged their teaching authority, their status as religious leaders. He publicly healed the lame. He did not rebuke the shouts of children saying, "Hosanna to the Son of David." And he taught openly in the temple courts. All this was causing the blood to boil of the religious leaders of his day, the Pharisees, the teachers of the law, the chief priests. And so here is what happens now in our passage for today. Matthew chapter 21, verses 23 to 32. I read in Jesus' name. Jesus entered the temple courts, and while he was teaching, the chief priests and elders of the people came to him. "By what authority are you doing these things?" they asked. "And who gave you this authority?" Jesus replied, "I will also ask you one question. If you answer me, I will tell you by what authority I am doing these things. John's baptism, where did it come from? Was it from heaven or from men?" They discussed it among themselves and said, "If we say from heaven, he will ask, 'Well, then why didn't you believe him? But if we say from men, we are afraid of the people, for they all hold that John was a prophet.'" So they answered Jesus, "We don't know." Then he said, "Neither will I tell you by what authority I am doing these things. What do you think? There was a man who had two sons. He went to the first and said, 'Son, go and work today in the vineyard.' 'I will not,' he answered. But later he changed his mind and went out. Then the father went to the other son and said the same thing. He answered, 'I will, sir.' But he did not go. Which of the two did what his father wanted?" "The first," they answered. Jesus said to them, "I tell you the truth. The tax collectors and the prostitutes are entering the kingdom of God ahead of you. For John came to show you the way of righteousness, and you did not believe him. But the tax collectors and prostitutes did. And even after you saw this, you did not repent and believe him." This is the word of the Lord. Let us pray. O Lord, regardless of how we start in response to your call, Lord, may we finish by yielding to you and receiving you. Speak, Lord, and may we, your servants, be listening. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Jesus has the authority from start to finish. Jesus has the authority. The word authority, Webster tells us, is the power or right to give commands, enforce obedience, take action, or make final decisions. Secondly, it's power or influence resulting from knowledge, prestige, etc. Jesus' authority, his power, his right to give commands, enforce obedience, take action, and make final decisions, his authority is declared by none less than God himself. We see it in his word. God declares it in his word in John 1:1. "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us." His Word declares Jesus as the authority. We see it in chapter 1 of Matthew, where the birth of Jesus is foretold not only in his written Word, but by his messengers, the angels. When one came to Joseph after he had learned of Mary's pregnancy, "Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins." All this took place to fulfill what was said through the prophet: "The virgin will be with child and will give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel," which means God with us. The angels declare that Jesus is the authority. He is the Son of God. And finally, Jesus is declared the Son of God by John the Baptist himself. Prepare the way of the Lord. Jesus being his very identity is reason for his authority. It's reason enough, more than enough. He is declared by God the Father himself as the one who has the right because of who he is. But Jesus' authority is not only declared by God the Father as through his written word, as through the prophets, as through the angels, as through John the Baptist and others. But it's also demonstrated by Jesus himself in what he says and does. His teaching. The people remark at the beginning of Jesus' ministry and throughout. In Mark chapter 1, when Jesus was in Capernaum teaching in the Sabbath, in the synagogue in Capernaum on the Sabbath day, it says, Mark 1:22, the people were amazed at his teaching because he taught them as one who had authority, not as their teachers of the law. Jesus taught as one with authority. His words had weight. They found their resting place in the hearts of people. His teaching could not be refuted. It could not be surpassed. It could not be discredited. Although many tried. Jesus' words had authority. Jesus' actions had authority. What's easier, to say your sins are forgiven or to tell this man to get up and walk? He forgave the sins and he healed the lame. He cast out demons. He calmed the storm. He raised the dead. Jesus' actions confirm his identity as the one who has the authority to do these things. He was being questioned. By what right do you come in and turn the temple upside down? Not the temple itself, but those who are desecrating it. Jesus has the authority. The scriptures proclaim. And he has the authority for one more reason. He has the authority because from beginning to end, from start to finish, he was the perfect, obedient Son of God. The one who has declared from heaven, "You are my Son. This is my Son. Listen to him." The one who resisted temptation by Satan, who said, "I have authority to give all these kingdoms to you, Jesus. Just bow down to me." But he didn't bow down. He didn't take the shortcut to his rightful dominion over the universe. No, he resisted the temptation. And he became obedient to death, even death on a cross. In Philippians 2, it says, "Therefore, God exalted him to the highest place and gave him the name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father." By his perfect obedience all the way to the end, by suffering on the cross for you and me and being raised again, he received the right to be Lord of all. Jesus' authority is declared by the Father and it is demonstrated by his own words and actions. And so then, what is the response? There are two responses to Jesus' authority, and only two. Reject it or receive it. Jesus' authority challenges human authority. It challenges the authority that wants to usurp God's rightful place as sovereign over us. The religious leaders of Jesus' day didn't want to give up their positions of authority, of prestige, of power. But how different are we? How well do we like someone else telling us what to do? See, the tax collectors and prostitutes, they didn't want anyone telling them what to do either. I'll live my life as I choose. But they're not the only ones. The scripture tells us all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Each of us has the reject button in our heart to God's authority. The reject button that's already lit when we're born. Just like the two sons in Jesus' story. The one says, I'm not doing it. Nuh-uh. And the other one who said, I'll do it, but then doesn't. Now, when compared, the first one's better than the second one because he ended well. He had a change of heart, a change of direction, a change from following his own wicked heart to following the word of his father. To have the authority, one needs to start well and end well. The two people in Jesus' story, neither of them qualified. The one didn't start well, but he ended well. That was better. The question is, how do we end well when all of us have started poorly? It takes a power that we don't have. It takes an authority bigger than our own. It takes Jesus, the one who surrendered his rightful claim, his privileged position in heaven, and humbled himself and became one of us. The one who set aside his power and became weak by human standards and allowed himself to be put to death and raised again, that we might have a change of heart and end well. There's two responses to Jesus' authority. Receive it or reject it. Sadly, some continue to reject until the very end. But there is more joy in heaven when one sinner repents. There's joy in heaven when we receive Jesus as our Lord and Savior. He has the power. He has the power to change our bad start into a good finish. He has the authority because he was obedient from start to finish and is declared to be and demonstrates that he is the one with the authority. Not only to cleanse the temple in Jerusalem centuries ago, but to cleanse the temple of you and me from the dirt and corruption that's within us. He has the authority and right. He earned it at the cross, and he proved it at the empty tomb that he is Jesus, the one who saves us from our sins. Let us pray. O Lord, wash us today again in your blood, that we might be freed and assured that we belong to you and have been redeemed. And Lord, may your power overwhelm anyone right now who's yet holding back, afraid to let go, afraid to confess the sin, afraid to receive you. May your love, may your power bring that change of heart, that that person too might finish well. Keep us, Lord, in true faith to you to the end. Thank you for loving us and promising to do just that. We pray this in your name, Jesus. Amen.
All authority is yours, Lord Jesus. Amen. Thank you for the sermon, Pastor John. And would the congregation now join in for the closing chorus, "Go Now in Peace." Benediction. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord cause his face to shine upon you and give you his peace. In the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Sings for